Hey everyone, this is Carlos Morales and I am today with MK Lords. Today we're going to be discussing, the recent coming of the Great Holy One to America. Now, ever since the obviously evil Pope Benedict, also known as Emperor Palpatine, left his position as the literal vessel of God Almighty and was replaced by the Jesuit Pope Francis, culture progressives and modern liberals have been speaking about the fantastic ways he's been reinvigorating the church through his supposed pro-tolerance rhetoric. It's not just folks on CNN who'll be giving praise to the new pope, but even secular people who lean libertarian. In fact, when I posted on the Libertarian Atheist Facebook page that Megan and I would be doing a show critiquing a man who lives in a golden castle that's subsidized by those who fear Jesus will throw them in a lake of fire, I was condemned by some because this pope is different. He's the cool pope. He's changing shit up. But I have some suspicions. First off, he's the head of the Catholic Church. You know, the church that brought you the Crusades, the Inquisition, over 1,000 years of lies, violence, tyranny, and corruption? But you might say, that was in the past and they're cool now. Well, I don't agree. The first issue is that the Pope is certainly not going to go against the Bible anytime soon. Now, he pointed to many ways in which gathering your ethics from the Bible is a bit difficult. A major one being the fact that it's nearly impossible due to the massive amounts of contradictions. That the basis of the religion is not only scientifically flawed, but that the stories of Abraham and Noah are tales of a tyrannical, jealous lunatic with a fetish for death and destruction. That Jesus' statements were filled more with hate than with peace, and he justified not only chattel slavery, but also slavery of the mind by instructing his followers to never have bad thoughts, let they be condemned. For the only unforgivable sin is to ever question the Holy Spirit. That asceticism and the prevention of pleasure and critical thinking is a necessary component to a living a godly life. And that the best real-world comparison of a godly life led by the Abrahamic dictator in country format is North Korea. The Bible is really not the good book, as much as it is a badly written series of rules and contradictory stories that is regularly misunderstood and used for everything, from charity to genocide. But we've already done a Bible episode before, and you can go ahead and look at earlier episodes of the Libertarian Atheist podcast in which we dissect that a bit more. I believe I was with Calvin in those shows. Now, why are people calling this man with the bitchin' hat, golden castle, millions of dedicated followers, and voice for God the new progressive pope? Well, because he's hitting all the good talking points. In his recent trip to Philly, he talked about global warming and why we need a one-world government to prevent it. Yeah, he actually said it, and I believe, Megan, you have a quote from him on that?
Yes, this is a quote from the cool pope. To manage the global economy, to revive economies hit by the crisis, to avoid any deterioration of the present crisis and the greater imbalances that would result, to bring about integral and timely disarmament, food security and peace, to guarantee the protection of the environment, and to regulate migration. For all this, there is urgent need of a true world political authority.
Wow. You know, it's
so cool.
You know, I didn't even notice the timely disarmament part. We're going to get into the guns thing in a little bit here. But he's essentially for essentially planned government to dictate using force to redistribute goods and services of the world through the creation of a totalitarian government. Because that's worked out so well, especially in places like, again, the great microcosm of godliness that is North Korea. We're going to be getting into his communist and Marxist background in a second here, but let's jump to his quotes on gun ownership. Can you go ahead and hit that, Megan?
Yes. So he said this about gun ownership. It makes me think of people, managers, businessmen who call themselves Christian and they manufacture weapons. This leads to a bit of a distrust, doesn't it? He followed this with a statement regarding the weapons industry, saying, quote, duplicity is the currency of today. They say one thing and do another.
So the Pope, who's backed by guns, he literally has men with weapons all around him all the time, is for governments who are backed by guns, who will then use force to prevent other individuals from using guns. So he's for the government having weapons, but not the people. Now, let's go back to our liberal friends. What do our progressive friends love so much? They love weed, right? But, Megan, what did the Pope say about marijuana?
Well, he's not too fond of the cannabis. He says the scourge of drug use continues to spread inexorably, fed by deplorable commerce, which transcends national and continental borders. Francis told conference participants in 2014. Here's another quote. Attempts, however limited, to legalize so-called recreational drugs are not only highly questionable from a legislative standpoint, but they fail to produce desired effects.
Yeah, that's cute. He's saying that making weed legal prevents desired effects. I guess the desired effect that he wants is the criminalization of the human body and what individuals should be allowed to consume, which is incredibly religious and Christian, so it shouldn't be a surprise. None of this should be a surprise to anyone if you understand where the Catholic Church stems from, namely brutal torture, lying, manipulation, and the killing of tons and tons of people and the controlling of their bodies, not only in the here and now, but in the eternal afterlife.
So, yeah, this is kind of an interesting it's not an interesting position for him to take. It's an expected one, but for someone who's claiming to be so progressive, it's just so backwards. And it's especially now because this isn't seen as a really progressive radical stance anymore, legalization or decriminalization. It's pretty much well supported. It has broad support, at least here in the States. And I mean, there's really a small percentage of people who are holding out against it. There's still problems at the federal levels as far as legalization. That's probably going to take a lot longer. But generally, people think it's kind of ridiculous that marijuana is still illegal. So he's really falling on, a dying
A
sense, the
dying
Catholic
cross.
Church,
Yeah,
right?
it's the Catholic
So it's
Church.
like the
So it is kind of
dying.
what he does. Yes, he's full of shit. Wow, crazy. Imagine that. The Pope, full of shit. But but I repeat myself. Now, when it
I just love how he's seen as like this is the most progressive pope. I mean, he won't even come down on an easy throwaway,
Yeah,
a
the throwaway
throwaway
thing, like
topic.
pot. No, he's not
He's
even gonna go for that. Nope. Nope, he's not cool enough. Now, I find it funny that conservatives are chastising the cool Pope for being too political, because the position is a political one by its very nature. He is the head of a church that is its own micronation. And, in fact, within many countries, the Catholic Church has gotten away with having their own laws, including the United States, especially on the topic of child molestation. A shining example of this was Oliver O'Grady. This sack of shit raped at least 25 kids in California from 1973 onwards. There's a series of interviews that I might cut in here in a little bit from Deliverers from Evil, in which he just decided to admit to all the molestations that he did, and he doesn't really seem to feel any guilt. That sociopathic fuck.
Swear by Almighty God
that the evidence
that I shall give
in this deposition
will be the truth,
the whole truth,
and nothing but the truth.
But if the boy was tall or fat, that wouldn't attract me. I tended to take boys that were rather slim built. I tended to be attracted to the genital area, and there was a part of me would kind of want to be in touch with that or to discover that, to see that in this particular boy.
What about the little girls did you find attractive?
If she had a short dress or something like that, I might have been tempted to, and often did, maybe raise her dress in a kind of subconscious way, or should I say in a way that she's not aware that I'm doing that, but checking her out at the same time, you know. You get a glimpse of her underwear.
And did you find that arousing?
I did, yes. The viewing was more attractive, actually, than the touching in the girl's case.
And if they said to me, well, do you feel aroused when you see women? I'd probably say, no. Do you feel aroused when you see men? No. So do you feel aroused when you see children? I said, well, maybe. How about children who are in swimsuits? I say, yeah. How about children in underwear? I'd say, yeah, you know. How about if you saw children naked? And I said, yeah.
He actually admitted to the California Bishop Roger Mahoney that he was molesting kids repeatedly. And parents came forward to let the bishop know as well. And rather than get the authorities involved, he simply moved Father O'Grady from church to church. Every time he got caught, he just moved to another church.
This well, been forgiven by God.
My last memory of Oliver is severe pain before I black out.
When Nancy Sloan came to you in the 80s, she was distressed, correct?
1986.
Was she distressed?
No, she wasn't.
Was she just doing just fine?
It's the first time I saw her was that day. I hadn't known anything about her. She seemed very composed.
He just went on and on lashing out all this guilt on me when I told him, you know, I just want him to understand the depth of the pain that I suffer on a regular basis, the how when I see a Dodge Duster, which was the car that he drove at the time, how I still pull over and dry heave.
What did she want?
She wanted to know whether Father O'Grady was continuing in therapy.
What'd you tell her?
I told her that I would, I thought he was, but I would check on her for sure.
Was he?
Yes.
I told him, you knew that I was being abused. You knew that the abuse was happening. How could you not have done something?
So Bishop Montrose knew O'Grady was an abuser?
He knew that O'Grady had been accused of inappropriate touching in 76.
Just like every other bishop after 76. Right?
Yes.
And he said, we knew that you were being abused, but you were a girl. So we thought it was normal curiosity. Had you been a boy, we would have thought something was wrong with it that would have been obscene for him to have abused a boy, like homosexual.
And this wasn't just one isolated case, as the church actually had an entire edict dedicated to dealing with child molestation, written by Ratzinger, the former Pope Benedict. And to say the edict was disgusting would be putting it lightly. The document recommended that rather than reporting sexual abuse to the relevant legal authorities, bishops should encourage the victim, witnesses, and perpetrators not to talk about it, and to keep victims quiet. It threatened that if they repeat the allegations, they would be excommunicated. Megan, I went ahead and I sent you a little bit of information regarding that document, if you could read that up for me.
Yeah, so the title of the document is also known as Pope Benedict. It gives specific instructions on how to carry out the rules in the Code of Canon Law on dealing with such cases, and directed that the same procedures be used when dealing with denunciations of homosexual, pedophile, or zoophile behavior by clerics. Cardinal Ratzinger reinforced the strict cover-up policy by introducing a new principle, that the Vatican must have what it calls exclusive competence. In other words, he commanded that all child abuse allegations should be dealt with directly by Rome.
Now, I want you to picture a company here, right? Let's say Walmart. Now, in Walmart, they have all these, say, managers who keep raping children, right? And Walmart keeps moving these managers around rather than actually putting them forward and letting cops know or the public know or anyone else know that some molestation is going on. And when they're questioned about it, they just say, actually, we're going to deal with that on our end. It's not really your business. Walmart would be closed immediately. No one would ever respect that company. No one would ever trust them again, no matter how old they are. Now, Father Tom Doyle, a Vatican lawyer who's actually fired when he went open about his issues with this disgusting document, he stated, what you have here is an explicit written policy to cover up cases of child sexual abuse by the clergy and to punish those who would call attention to these crimes by the churchmen. When abusive priests are discovered, the response has been not to investigate and prosecute, but to move them from one place to another so that there's total disregard for the victims and for the fact that you are going to have a whole new crop of victims in the next place. This is happening all over the world. Though the new Pope said that he had issues with the way the church was dealing with it, and in fact said to the victims, oh, my bad. He actually hasn't prosecuted anyone who helped out with the cover-up, especially the main guy, the former fucking Pope. If people don't think that was a political move, the fact that the guy who covered up all of the child molestation suddenly became the Pope, well, you're an idiot. Now, we could do a whole show on the Catholic molestation cover-up, but I'm going to get way, way too angry and passionate and start breaking something. So I want to talk about a bit about the inspiration for the Pope's communist appeasing views, which stem from something called liberation theology, which is a leftist South American approach to Jesus' teachings that justifies the use of force to garner the resources of the population in an effort for pure egalitarianism through coercion. This is also known as communism.
So the movement was started in part with the help of Leonardo Boff, a Brazilian Marxist who helped with the communist regimes in South America. With the greatest of communist intentions, the Catholic Church was actually ripe with communists by the 1930s. They used the influence of the church to promote Marxist ideals. This was part of the Jesuit Marxist agenda to undermine certain aspects of classical Catholic teachings while emphasizing pseudo-tolerance that in fact was just a tactic to guilt others to accept Marxist policies. This is very apparent throughout all of South America, where Marxist philosophy and Catholicism have become one and the same.
So one of the biggest proponents of the new Pope is actually Raul Castro, the Cuban Marxist dictator who was also brought up in a Jesuit school for the Pope's anti-free market views. And the Pope has actually played an integral part in the diplomatic relations recently between the Castros and Obama. And people might think, great, open borders, open thinking, open thought. But in fact, it's really just promotion of the Pope's communist views. Communism isn't a joke, right? When we bring up socialism and communism, especially in today's society, there's this kind of, oh, well, what are you saying? Some kind of communist? Communism led to about 100 million people being killed by governments in just 100 years. It led to the destruction of complete economies. It led to massive genocides, concentration camps. The Nazis had nothing on the communists when it came to the death tolls. And this is exactly what this Pope is calling for. Now, though it's been claimed that liberation theology was obliterated by John Paul II, no one has told that to Pope Francis or the numerous countries within South America who flock towards this belief, not only in church, but in the dictates by the government. The Pope is a commie, and this is a conspiracy. And yes, it does come off as conspiratorial. But this is because the Catholic Church is a conspiracy. It is run by a small collective of control freaks and pedophiles who are responsible for the enslavement and deaths of millions of individuals over the last 1,500 fucking years, who burn buildings, boys and girls, who get indirect subsidization by the United States government, who run on the fear of damnation, as had been one of the most evil organizations the world has ever seen. I don't give a damn how hip the Pope seems. He's a Marxist head of a horrific church, and I hope the whole thing burns to the goddamn ground. This is not the way towards freedom, by having a progressive Pope. The way towards freedom is liberating your mind from faith and dogma and moving forward to a world that is actually better and free from bullshit manipulative books like the Bible. Am I angry right now? Am I showing frustration? It's for good reason. This is just another charade. This is just another way of trying to convince people that control is good.
When did it stop? When she was 13?
12.
12, okay. And I asked her, why didn't you tell us earlier? Why? You know? And her answer was to me that I used to say that anybody who tried to hurt you, I would kill them. And I shouldn't have made that statement.
She told me that.
She wouldn't say anything.
She asked a little girl, what would happen if your dad killed somebody? And they said that he would go to jail forever, never, never come out. And she said, that day I decided I could never tell anybody because she said I knew Dad would kill him.
I guess her love for me kept her from telling me. And my love for her, I feel guilty about that. But I feel betrayed by the church. The church has betrayed me and my family. And it destroyed it. But by golly, I'm not gonna let it destroy me now.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels' feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.